All right, strap in for this one, folks, because today we're going to take a deep dive into a case that'll make you think twice about those sign here moments.
Especially when your job might be hanging in the balance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're talking about Mitchell VCC Sanitation Co., Inc., a 1968 case out of Texas.
Okay.
And, you know, you've sent us the court documents, legal analyses.
From ball shebang.
Whole nine yards. So let's really unpack this thing.
Let's get into it.
Our mission, if you choose to accept it, is to figure out if an employer can really force you to sign away your rights.
Oh.
Just to keep that paycheck coming.
Interesting. Yeah. I think this case is really interesting because it kind of throws a spotlight on this tension we see all the time, right? Between this at-will employment, where your employer can often fire you for any reason.
Right.
And then this idea that any agreement you make has to be fair.
Yeah, because it seems pretty straightforward at first glance, right? You know, truck driver has an accident, signs a couple releases to settle things up, case closed.
Right, right.
But you're telling me it's not that simple?
Not quite. No, no. This case is really all about this idea of economic duress.
Okay.
Which is actually a lot trickier than it sounds.
Okay.
So to set the scene, we have R.L. Mitchell, our truck driver.
Okay.
He's working for a company called Heron Transportation.
Right.
He gets into an accident.
Yeah.
You know, these things happen, right?
Yeah.
But then he ends up signing not one, but two releases.
Two. Okay, now I'm interested. Tell me more about these releases.
All right. So one of them was a joint release between Mitchell and Heron. And that was for $388.65.
Okay.
The other one was a separate release just for Mitchell himself for a whopping $62.12.
Wait, $62.12? That's all he got for a whole accident settlement.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
And to make matters even more interesting or kind of sketchy, we're talking about the majority of that initial payout.
Yeah.
Like $281.65 of it went to truck repairs.
Okay.
Another $107 went to medical bills.
Right.
That Heron, the employer, had already covered.
Right.
Went straight back to the employer.
So you start to see right from the get-go the potential for a conflict of interest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely some red flags popping up already.
Yeah, yeah. So how does Mitchell's argument about economic duress factor into all of this?
Well, Mitchell claimed he was basically pressured into signing these releases by his employer, saying that they had threatened to fire him if he didn't sign.
Wow.
So you can imagine the kind of pressure that puts on someone, right?
Right.
Sign this or you're out of a job.
Yeah, that's a tough spot to be in for sure.
Yeah.
But even if it feels wrong, is that kind of pressure actually illegal?
Right.
Especially in a state like Texas, known for its at-will employment laws.
Exactly. Yeah, that is the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
That's really what the court had to grapple with. Can a threat, even a legal one, like firing an employee, be considered duress when it comes to signing a contract?
Right.
And that's where things get really interesting.
All right, spill the beans.
Okay.
Did the court agree with Mitchell?
Well, this is actually far from a slam dunk case.
Okay.
The initial trial court sided with the defendants.
Right.
And that was CC Sanitation, the company that was involved in the accident.
Got it.
And their driver.
Okay.
And they granted what's called a summary judgment.
Yeah.
Which basically means they dismissed the case.
Oh, wow.
Before it could even go to a full trial.
So it was over for Mitchell right then and there. No chance to even, like, make his case.
Not so fast, because Mitchell decided to appeal the decision.
Right.
And that's where things took a really interesting turn.
Right. Now I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
What happened next?
So the appeals court overturned the trial court's decision. They said, hold on a minute. There's enough evidence here to suggest that Mitchell might have been coerced into signing those releases.
So they saw things differently.
Yeah.
What specifically convinced them to side with Mitchell?
I'm dying to know. Well, the majority opinion, which was written by Justice Johnson, lays out some pretty compelling arguments.
Yeah.
Really focusing on this power imbalance between Mitchell and his employer.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
You have a guy who needs this job to support himself and his family.
Right.
And his boss is basically saying, sign these releases or you're fired.
Right.
It doesn't exactly scream like a free and voluntary agreement, does it?
Definitely not the most balanced negotiation I've ever heard of.
Right. Yeah.
What else did Justice Johnson point to?
Another big factor was the consideration.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, basically what each party gets out of the deal.
Right.
Mitchell gets a measly $62.12.
Right.
And potentially loses his livelihood.
Yeah.
And Heron, they get their truck fixed, medical bills taken care of.
Yeah.
It's a pretty one-sided agreement.
Yeah. That's raising some eyebrows for sure.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that there were two releases though.
Right.
What was the second one about?
Right. That's where CC Sanitation comes in.
Oh, okay.
Remember, they're the ones Mitchell is ultimately trying to sue for damages
right.
from this accident.
Got it.
So the court was really looking at whether CC Sanitation knew about this pressure that Heron was putting on Mitchell
right.
and whether they benefited from it.
Ah, so it's not just about the direct relationship
right.
between the employer and the employee,
yeah.
but about how like third parties might be tangled up.
Exactly.
In this web of potential coercion.
Exactly. And Justice Johnson was really clear in his opinion, basically saying when you have a situation with unequal terms, you know, one side sacrificing most of their benefits, weaker party being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
That's when you need to look closely at the possibility of duress.
Wow. That's a pretty powerful statement from the court.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm guessing this means the appeals court had the final say.
Well, not so fast.
Oh.
Remember how I said this case was a real head-scratcher?
I have a feeling you're about to throw us a curveball here.
Yeah.
What's the twist?
There was a dissenting opinion written by Chief Justice Tunks.
Okay.
That really throws a wrench into things.
All right, let's hear. What did Chief Justice Tunks have to say about all of this?
His argument really boils down to this. Tough economic times, even the threat of losing your job, don't automatically equal legal duress.
Okay.
Essentially arguing that Heron and CC Sanitation were acting within their legal rights and that Mitchell's financial troubles, while unfortunate, didn't change the fact that he signed the releases.
So we've got a real clash of legal titans here.
Right.
One side saying, you know, hey, this has all the signs of coercion, especially with that power dynamic.
Yeah.
And the other side saying, tough luck, you sign the papers. Case closed.
Yeah, and this back and forth is exactly what makes Mitchell v. CC Sanitation such a landmark case.
Yeah, but
it forces us to really examine what voluntary consent really means in the eyes of the law.
Right, yeah.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, it sounds like we've got a real legal showdown brewing.
Yeah.
Will the majority opinion hold up?
Mm-hmm.
Or will Chief Justice Tunks' dissent win the day?
Yeah.
Stay tuned for part two of our deep dive
yes.
into Mitchell v. CC Sanitation, where we'll break down the implications
right.
of this fascinating case.
Absolutely.
And what it means for all of us.
For all of us. Welcome back to our deep dive into Mitchell v. CC Sanitation.
All right.
When we left off, we had this real cliffhanger, right? This dissenting opinion
yeah.
that kind of threw a wrench into our whole understanding of economic duress.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. It almost feels like they're saying, yeah, your boss might have backed you into a corner, but, you know, tough luck.
Well, it's not quite that simple.
Okay.
You know, the dissent does raise some points, you know, about not wanting to, like, completely undermine this idea of at-will employment.
Right. You know, businesses do need to have some flexibility in how they manage their workforce, right?
Right, but where do we draw the line?
Yeah.
How do we balance, you know, protecting employees from being coerced with giving employers the freedom to run their businesses?
Right. That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And the answer, as with many things in the legal world, is it depends.
Okay, Professor, break it down for us.
Right.
What are the key things that courts look at when they're trying to determine if there's been economic duress?
Well, first, they examine the nature of the threat itself.
Okay.
Was it a legitimate threat?
Okay.
You know, like an employer's right to fire an employee in an at-will situation?
Right.
Or was it something, you know, more nefarious, like blackmail or extortion?
Yeah, even in at-will states, employers can't just fire someone for any reason, right? Like, they can't fire someone because of their race or their gender.
Exactly. Context is everything.
Right.
And in Mitchell, you know, the threat of termination was technically legal.
Right.
But the way it was used, you know, to pressure Mitchell into signing away his rights for a pittance.
Right.
With the employer directly benefiting.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the court found potentially coercive.
So it's not just about the threat itself, but the motivations behind it?
Exactly. Right. You know, the court's basically saying, look, if you're using your power as an employer to, like, line your own pockets or shield yourself from liability instead of making a legitimate business decision,
right.
we're going to take a much closer look.
Makes sense. What else do courts consider besides, you know, the nature of the threat?
Well, they look at the relative bargaining power
Back.
Of the parties involved.
Mm-hmm.
In Mitchell, you had a truck driver who was dependent on this job, right?
Right, right.
Up against a company with you know, resources and legal representation.
Not exactly a fair fight.
Not even close. And that's a huge red flag for courts.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be much more skeptical of an agreement when one party clearly has the upper hand.
Right. It's like David and Goliath, but in a courtroom.
Exactly. And speaking of David and Goliath, another crucial factor is the adequacy of the consideration.
Okay.
Remember, Mitchell only walked away with $62.12 from that whole deal.
Right. Yeah. That didn't exactly seem like a fair shake to me.
Right. And the courts agreed.
Yeah.
You know, if the consideration is so lopsided that it seems completely unreasonable.
Right.
That's another indicator that duress might have been involved.
So they're looking for situations where someone is being forced to accept a deal that's clearly not in their best interest.
Exactly. And the final piece of the puzzle is whether the person claiming duress had any other viable options.
Okay.
You know, could they have walked away from the deal without facing serious consequences?
In Mitchell's case, probably not.
Right.
Losing his job would have been a huge blow.
Absolutely. And that's why the appeals court ultimately sent the case back for a full trial.
Okay.
You know, they weren't definitively saying that Mitchell was coerced, but they decided there was enough evidence of potential duress that it should go before a jury.
So this case really is like a legal thriller.
Yeah.
What about the dissent's argument that economic pressure by itself shouldn't be enough to invalidate a contract? How do you counter that?
Well, the counterargument is that we can't ignore the fact that economic pressure, especially when it involves someone's like livelihood, right?
Yeah.
Their ability to like provide for themselves can be just as coercive as like physical force.
It's like that feeling of sign this or you won't be able to put food on the table.
Right.
That's a very powerful form of pressure.
Absolutely. And the law needs to acknowledge that if we just dismissed every claim of economic duress by saying, well, everyone faces financial pressure.
Yeah.
You know, then we'd be opening the floodgates for exploitation.
Right. That would essentially give employers a free pass to just dictate the terms of any agreement.
Exactly.
No matter how unfair.
Exactly. You know, the core principle of contract law is that agreements have to be entered into freely and fairly.
Right.
And Mitchell VCC Sanitation really reminds us that power dynamics play a huge role in whether an agreement is truly voluntary, even when the actions themselves might be technically legal.
This is some seriously thought-provoking stuff.
Right.
What happened after the appeals court sent the case back?
Yeah.
Did Mitchell actually end up winning his case?
Unfortunately, the records of what happened at the trial itself aren't publicly available.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that the appeals court reversed the summary judgment is significant in and of itself.
Yeah.
It shows they were really taking Mitchell's claims seriously and they weren't just going to rubber stamp an agreement that potentially stemmed from coercion.
So even though we don't know the final verdict, the case itself sets an important precedent.
Absolutely. Mitchell VCC Sanitation is considered a landmark case.
Okay.
You know, not just in Texas law, but for employment law in general, it really highlights the limitations of at-will employment.
Right.
And emphasizes the importance of ensuring that contracts are truly voluntary.
Yeah.
Not just on paper, but in practice.
All right, legal eagles, we've covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of you might be thinking, well, how does this actually affect me?
Right.
Don't worry, we'll be back for part three of our deep dive.
That's right.
To break down the practical implications of this case, both for employers and employees.
Absolutely.
All right, welcome back to the final part.
Yes.
Of our deep dive into Mitchell VCC Sanitation.
Right.
We've journeyed through a really twisted legal battle.
We have.
Examining that fine line between acceptable pressure.
Yeah.
And outright coercion.
It's been quite a ride.
Oh, talk about a legal thriller.
Yeah.
But let's bring it back down to earth for a second.
Right.
What are the key takeaways here for our listeners?
Yeah.
Especially for those of you who might be dealing with contracts, releases in your own work.
You know, I think the most important takeaway is to be aware of this potential for economic duress.
Okay.
Particularly in situations where there's this clear power imbalance.
Right. Because as we've seen, even if your actions are technically legal,
right,
the way you go about things can make all the difference.
Exactly. You know, if you're using that threat of termination as like a bargaining chip, right? To secure a better deal for yourself or avoid potential liability, you're really wading into some dangerous territory.
So what's the best approach for employers then in these situations?
Yeah.
How can they make sure things are done fairly?
Well, transparency and fairness are absolutely crucial.
Okay.
You know, make sure the employee fully understands the terms of the release, what they're giving up by signing.
Yeah.
Give them plenty of time to consult with an attorney if they want. And
yeah.
perhaps most importantly,
yeah.
ensure that that consideration is reasonable. Don't try to take advantage of their situation just because you have more leverage.
Sounds like solid advice, not just for employers.
Right.
But for anyone involved in, you know, negotiating a settlement or release.
Absolutely.
So for employees, the big lesson here is to know your rights.
Right.
And don't be afraid to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
If you feel pressured into a bad deal.
Yeah. And that can be tough, I know.
Yeah, I imagine that could be easier said than done
when
your job is on the line.
Exactly. But it's important to remember that the law is there to protect you from coercion, even in these states with at-will employment.
Mm.
So if you feel like your employer is using their power to force you to sign something that you're not okay with, document everything.
Okay.
And seek legal advice.
Having a lawyer in your corner can really help to level the playing field.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And even if you can't afford to hire an attorney,
mm-hmm.
there are resources out there.
Okay.
Like legal aid organizations, pro bono services.
All right.
That can really help you navigate these really complex situations.
Good point. We've talked about employers and employees, but what about the role of third parties?
Mm-hmm.
Like the insurance company and Mitchell.
Right.
What can we learn from their involvement?
Well, the court's scrutiny of CC Sanitation really highlights this importance of due diligence for any company involved with releases and settlements.
Right.
You know, if you're benefiting from an agreement, you really need to make sure it was reached fairly.
Okay.
Without any hint of coercion.
So basically, don't turn a blind eye
to
potential wrongdoing just because it happens to work in your favor.
Exactly. And for those of you who are law students or, you know, already practicing law.
Yeah.
Mitchell v. CC Sanitation is a really fantastic case study for understanding the complexities of economic duress and how it kind of intersects with these limits of at-will employment.
It really shows how a seemingly straightforward concept like voluntary consent can get incredibly messy.
It can.
When you factor in things like power dynamics and economic pressure.
Absolutely.
Well, there you have it, folks. Our deep dive into Mitchell VCC Sanitation has taken us through the twists and turns of a landmark legal battle.
It has.
Explored those murky waters where, you know, lawful pressure can become coercion and hopefully armed you with some valuable insights for navigating the world of contracts and employment law.
Yeah, whether you're an employer, an employee, or just someone who loves a good legal drama, the lessons from Mitchell are still relevant today.
Absolutely.
Just as they were back in 1968.
Power dynamics, economic pressure, the pursuit of fairness.
Mm-hmm.
These themes are always going to be at the heart of the law.
Right.
And as we've seen in this case, sometimes it takes a truck driver, a measly $62.12.
Yeah. And a dissenting opinion to remind us that even in an at-will world, this idea of voluntary is far more complicated than it might seem. Absolutely. Until next time, stay informed.
Stay engaged.
And remember, always read the fine print.
Always read the fine print.
Mm.